Could I get a mic brought up to Ray Metzger, please? Jonah, could we stand together and pray together?
Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for today. Thank you, Lord, for your word and your spirit that leads us into all truth. Father, amen. As we stand here before you this morning, we ask that that would be a reality in our hearts, that your spirit would lead us into all truth, and that you would open the word for us, that you would especially open the word for Brother Alvin as he embarks on speaking it to us. Bless him, give him the courage to speak what you would have him to speak, what you show him. And again, Father, we just commit that our hearts would be bowed in receiving the word from you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. You may be seated. Well, I have two confessions to make this morning. I came with none, but I ended up having two. After Paul was done, first of all, I was greatly influenced by a man by the name K.P. Yohannan this morning. So you can think about this. First of all, I just ask of you that you would consider what I'm saying. It's not everything. Not everything I say is from K.P. Could I get a drink, please? Krissa, would you mind getting me a drink of water? So I was greatly influenced by that, and I was influenced a long time ago by it. So I thought about it a long time, and I think I have been eating of the fruit of that and enjoying some of the blessings and benefits. The second one is that it might come across as this, that you might feel like I'm taking dominion over your faith and your life, and I'm telling you stuff and demanding stuff so that I can get some more respect. That's not what I'm doing. I hope when we're done with this, you'll understand that for sure. Okay. Just want everybody to see that eventually here. There's a man by the name of Philip Yancey. Don't know when, but you might recognize the man. He was also an author. I don't know him. But I understand he was in Africa on a safari, and they were walking wherever they were driving, probably, on this safari, and they were watching animals, and they came across a giraffe who had just, an old mama giraffe who had just given birth to her new offspring. The new offspring was laying on the ground, and she'd go over to this little creature, this poor little baby giraffe, and she'd kick it. Each time the small animal got up on its wobbly legs and tried to walk, but still she kicked it. Finally, this poor little creature got up and ran away from the kicking. He asked the guide, he turned to the guide and said, "Well, why? Why would the animal do that?" And he said this: "The only defense the giraffe has is this, its ability to get up quickly, and number two is to outrun the predator." That little giraffe was getting hurt. And maybe it didn't understand why. But every time it got poked and pricked, it tried to jump up on its little wobbly feet and it tried to run. And finally it did get away. But you know, its muscles were being strengthened. This little animal was getting strong, and it had to get strong quickly out in the wild, or you know, the lions and the cheetahs and the animals that be. And this morning, have a meal. And this morning we have no less sense of urgency in our hearts, because that there is an enemy as a roaring lion walking about seeking whom he may devour. And let's test this one, see if it's a kick in our side or not. The title of my message is The Core of Submission. Can you smile to that one? The Core of Submission. Like an apple core, right? What's the dead center of submission? It's fairly simple, and it's fairly encouraging in my life, actually. Now, Jesus said in Matthew 10 and Luke 10, in two different occasions, one was after the 12 were sent, Jesus said that I send you forth as lambs among wolves, or as sheep among wolves. And this is supposed to be a heart, by the way. Okay, think about it as your heart. It's not some lovey-dovey symbol this morning. It's a heart. It's your heart. The question is, what do we have in our heart? Do we have the heart of a sheep this morning, or do we have a heart of a wolf? And there are two kingdoms, the kingdom of Christ and the kingdom of Satan, who was Lucifer. And if you want to turn with me, you can. To Isaiah. I didn't even write the reference down. Okay, that's the test. Pretend I didn't say that. The test is, what are the verses in Isaiah about Lucifer? I thought it was 14, is it? There you go. Thank you very much. At the core of your being, by the actions and by the way we are living our lives, we might this morning check to see whether we are sheep among wolves or indeed we are simply a wolf. You know, in Matthew 7:21, it says, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that does the will of my Father which is in heaven. And Jesus went on to say that at that moment there's going to be people say to him, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? Did we not do miracles in your name? Did we not cast out demons in your name? Now that to me sounds like an ultimate of a Christian worker, if you want to say so. That sounds like a preacher. You think, children, you might look up here this morning and say, the preacher for sure got it right. Might be wrong. Don't take it. Consider it. Not necessarily. Just because somebody is doing great works in the kingdom of God, Jesus brought a stern warning. Here is the heart of Lucifer. How have you fallen from heaven? You know, there's a great debate among atheists, and C.S. Lewis was one of them as well. He thought about all the evil that's in the world. And the question is, if God made everything good, how can there be evil? You know, if God is as good as he says, how can there be something so bad as a Satan? But if God is as good as he says, and is everything he claims to be, and he would have to, and this was his conclusion, and he was a thinker, his conclusion was that God had to make people with a choice. Therefore, where did evil come from? Did it come from God? Would we blame God? You know, evil came from Satan himself. God gives us all choices. Our lives are filled with choices this morning, today. While we have life and breath, many, many choices. The choices you're going to make today may land you in hell or may lead you close, one step closer to God. Maybe this morning you walked in the door and you said to yourself, well, I don't even know where I'm going. Or you came in rejoicing. Maybe you're one of those who came in the back door and said, just here, my friends are here. Or you came this morning, maybe even worse than that. You think that's bad, maybe this one's worse. You came in the door reluctantly, and you look, you sit up quite well, and we sing nicely. Maybe this is the day that God will give you encouragement to take one step closer to God. O Lucifer, son of the morning, how you are cut down to the ground. You have weakened the nations, no doubt, huh? For you have said in your heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will also sit on the mount of the congregation on the farthest sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Yet you shall be brought down to Sheol, to the lowest depths of the pit. Those who see you will gaze at you and consider you. The heart of a wolf and the heart of Satan is this. I remember the first time an old preacher standing among us after church, and we were talking about something, I don't know, and this other fellow was saying, it was somebody related to the preacher, by the way, but anyway, he was saying many things, and he said, and the preacher looked at him and said, I think you have too much eye trouble. And at that moment, I wasn't very smart, so I was thinking to myself, what does he mean? What does he mean, just, you know, the eyes? No, he meant eye trouble. He said, I will. Satan said, I will, I will, I will, I will. The wolf says, it's self-preservation. You know, in Christ, we see a cross. For the wolf, he's looking for comfort, right? We see selflessness and death, and we see selfishness and self-preservation. We just simply have two kingdoms. That's all there is. Either this morning, I say again, either we have a heart of a sheep, because there's a shepherd. Thank the Lord, there's a shepherd this morning. He knows us. He knows us so intricately, we could look at Psalm 23. He knows all about us. And he's yearning this morning for the lost sheep. He will leave the 99 to go look for one lost sheep, just one lost sheep. And they'll rejoice when he get back over that one lost sheep more than those who were saved. This is the heart of the shepherd. The heart of Lucifer, I don't think we can even comprehend. I understand there's satanic worship among North America has increased, and we would be shocked in the cities and different places where it is, and the debauchery and the darkness and the low-down, sneaky, crafty ways that the devil is working, not to mention the meanness. You know, we're talking absolutes here this morning. This is absolute rebellion. This is absolute submission. The Lord Jesus Christ, the example we'll ever have. You know, can you imagine up in heaven, God, the triune God, equal as God, discussing, and yet Jesus, the second of the Trinity, they were discussing how they're going to redeem mankind. And our Savior said, I will submit to a cross. I will submit to becoming in the form of flesh and going down to earth and submit myself to death on a cross. In his submission, we see the reason for the words he could speak and preach. Because he was completely submitted to the Father's will. In the New Testament, it's so clear. Over and over he says, I do nothing without my Father. I say nothing without my Father. Now that's the example, that's the absolute example we seek to follow. There is nothing, the Bible says there is nothing in Satan. God, Jesus said, Satan has nothing in me, nothing, zero, not one thing. There is not one piece of light. There is no goodness. There is nothing good in him. It's an absolute rebellion. It's the opposite. So we have a choice this morning whether we will follow God. We will come near to God. We will accept what the core of submission is. Or we will follow as Lucifer did, and take our own way, the I. There are some very simple examples of order in all the universe, and everything we see. In fact, did you know that God operates on the very same principle? He thought of all these things himself. He is complete order. There is nothing chaotic about God. There's nothing. In God we have absolute order. In Lucifer's kingdom, there is, if you're there, he wants this for you. And you might have some of these things, but God wants to change these things. Confusion. Can you imagine this morning if the universe, this great universe, and we could talk for hours on the how it works and flows and is and now they're even talking about Planet X that comes by every once in a while, and it's really interesting. But we have great confidence that the order, the laws of God are in effect, and the universe is running smoothly. It's doing fine, thank you very much. God has placed everything there. We don't worry. Even the atheist isn't even worried. The guy who believes that everything came from nothing, there is no such thing. Nothing cannot produce nothing. Nothing cannot produce something. Even people like that believe something. And they place their trust in the laws of all kinds of laws. Thermodynamics, aerodynamics, gravity. Imagine if we didn't have gravity this morning, the center of the earth pulling us down. But we can defy it, right? I could climb to the top of the steeple here and say, no problem, forget it. I got a better way. Just walk off the steeple. How about this one? How about in our bodies? Our bodies work very well. And you know, when we have some great illness, and something I never hope upon anybody is cancer. Cellularly, something is not in place. It's out of order. So you have cancer, we die. So all around us, the testimony is that God has placed order. And we saw, as I told you there, tried to convince you, I believe I didn't have to, that in the Godhead, there is also order. There is a place where Jesus Christ submitted himself to the Father's will. And this morning, we are the recipients of that grace that flowed from the cross out of his goodness. And I pray for us that would be where we walk. You could take also an eagle. Can you imagine if an eagle would be like a chick, would someday be like a chicken, walking around eating like chickens do, expecting to be nothing else than a chicken? Or take a law, specific law. When he submits himself to the law of thermodynamics, you know how many birds get the view of the mountains, get a view of the earth that an eagle does. Now, eagles don't just fly the first day they're born either. So a little bit of encouragement here. Don't be too hard on yourself. Maybe this morning, you feel a bit like that eagle who's on the ground, and you know you're saved. You're an eagle. But you haven't been flying very high. You haven't been flying very well. It seems every time you fly, the best thing you can do is have a crash landing. See, the shepherd is deeply at work in the lives of his sheep, and he wants to strengthen them. It might be a little bit like someone who hasn't worked in 25 years, let's say. Or maybe you ladies are exercising. Hasn't exercised, and all of a sudden you start exercising ferociously. You know, you can get hurt. It takes time. Some of these things take time. Some of these things take walking in obedience to some principles. And I think, because of the time, and I, not only that, you know, in our land, I have a picture here in the VOM magazine. I believe this is the chain. Looks like it's from Ottawa, from the Parliament buildings. This picture here. And then on this side is the one I really wanted, the Supreme Court of Canada. You know, the Supreme Court of Canada has, for the generations that Canada has been a confederacy, I believe, based its laws upon the principles that there is a sovereign God. And there's a God with absolute moral authority. And most countries have that. The core of submission let me first say, there's a foundation for authority. In Isaiah, I believe it's 43, verse 10 and 11. Maybe I'll turn there. He says, God says, "You are my witnesses, says the Lord, and my servant whom I have chosen, that you may know and believe me and understand that I am he. Before me there is no God formed." This, we're talking foundation of authority. Before God, there's nothing. Before God, there is no authority. Upon God hangs all authority. He said to Moses, Moses said, they're going to ask who sent you. What am I to say to them? He said, you tell them that I am sent you. This is the present God. This is a God who is always there. This is a God who is the foundation for authority. And you look at the, as an example, the man that Moses went to, the ruler, the Pharaoh that Moses went to, and you see an illustration and a picture. You see a picture of what happens when men defy authority. In Hebrews 3, Hebrews 1 verse 3 says, there's a phrase there, the word of his power. By the word of God, God created all things. His creative acts were backed by his authority. He could do that. He could do what he said because he had authority to do it. He had the power and the authority to do it. He has his creative power. All authority on earth is delegated by God. Romans 13, verse 1. And the word submission, by the way, I was reading, I just went and opened up a concordance and found words like submit. And then I went into, I think it was Vines, and started reading all the verses that have submit, especially under, in the New Testament, under hupotasso. Under, hupo is under, and tasso is to an orderly arrangement, and the picture is a military word for ranking people. There, in the military, it's of utmost importance that people are under rank. And a junior officer, he knows better than to get out of rank. He's out of rank, he's in big trouble. I don't know what all they do. I haven't been there. But I understand that's how it is. And this is the word used in many times, I think all the times that I could see, that I was looking at anyway, in the New Testament. Keeping ourselves under rank. Sometimes we'll find ourselves in different circumstances. And I've said to myself, and recently I was in one, where I said to myself, what is my place in this? And I had to search my heart. What is my place here? Do I have authority to speak on what level? And there are different places. For example, let's say you're a dairy farmer. It'd make a lot more sense that the dairy farmers here would tell me how to tell anybody how to raise a cow and how to get the right nutrients and nutritional things and all that stuff. Make a lot more sense than for me to tell you all about cows, right? And some of these things are just common sense. But we find ourselves sometimes wondering, where is our place? Where is our place? Just wanted to make a bit of application here as well. As we think about the core of submission is that there is ultimate authority in God. There is an authority, and the core of our submitting our hearts is finding our place under God's authority, finding ourselves in the rank that we ought to be. And there are different. There's so many different places that we could talk about different rank in our lives, right? Little children, children at home, I encourage you, listen to your parents, do what your parents say. There comes a time when somebody lives at home and he's 30 years old, or 25 years old, or 40 years old. How is that different? It's quite a bit different, but there are ways to understand whether we're walking that or not. You know in your heart this morning, if you're walking at peace and rest, you're walking before God with a clear, your conscience is clear, and you're walking in those ways. There's places that work, for example. You know, it's one thing to know how to talk to the boss, and there's a place to do all things in their time and in their way, right? There's a place, the body of Christ. It would be a deplorable day in the body. It is a deplorable day in the body of Christ where men from the top down tell the church what to do. And there's a place for teaching, Brother Paul. There's a place for teaching, and men are being persuaded. But we don't have dominion over anybody. We have our place to fill. God is sovereign. He has dominion. You know, in the Church of Christ, and I think the early Anabaptists, I believe the early church, there's a place in the Church of Christ where, because we are not everything, we are not every part of the puzzle, we are not every part of the body, we in the Church of Christ desire that men think, that men open up the Word of God. You know, the safest place we can be this morning is close to the Word of God and opening up the Word and checking things out ourselves. Those are the things that convince us. And so if we're here this morning and we're wondering, how can I change my situation? Maybe you know, for an example, maybe you know that there's a place, maybe it's at work, I don't know. Maybe a supervisor you just don't get along with, and you know in your heart that you know better than he does, but you don't know how to place yourself under that supervisor's, place yourself in rank under him in a proper way. Maybe you haven't done the right thing. You know, there's some simple things you can do. One is you can simply send him a text. You know, you can apologize very easily, right? And you can still learn how to do these things, and I'll tell you how. Sometimes nothing will change in our lives until we get serious about it. And here's a good way to do it. It's such a simple way, you know it, and you think it works for you, but it doesn't for me. This works and can work in your life. One is, get out the Word of God. And sometimes I don't even know where to go. But I've been reading the book of Acts and reading carefully through the book of Acts and just making notes because I sometimes get confused. You know how you get confused? But I've been blessed as I watch how people are working in the book of Acts. Take this man under authority. Or taking his place in the Church of Christ. You know, when Barnabas went and he went looking, he went to Tarsus and he picked up Saul. He brought him back. The church sent out who? They sent out Barnabas and Paul. And all of a sudden, we discover that Paul was the chief speaker. He was the one speaking. Then it was Paul and Barnabas. And we never see anything there that Barnabas had a big problem with that, but that was just how it was. We find our place in God's kingdom Does it matter that it was Paul first and then Barnabas then? Or that earlier it was Barnabas and then Paul? I'm looking for rewards in heaven, aren't we? We're looking for some rewards, laying some treasures up, I'd say. Read the word consistently. Sometimes it's even just that one verse. Read it, and if you have an honest heart and will look for one little thing, do what he says as you read it. And I say that, I say this next thing because of something that happens to me, has happened to me. Sometimes you read something and I tell you, okay, you read your portion this morning and you saw what it said. It said there something drastic like, if your hand offends you, cut it off. And you say, well, that's pretty strong, isn't it? And you don't know what it means. How are you going to figure it out? Some simple ways that have helped me. And first of all, go into your reading with a sincere and honest heart. The other things we can do is we can take the word, and sometimes we read one verse, and then the context in which the verse is said can give us enlightenment. Sometimes we need to simply, if you have a Bible with a column down the center, you can go looking for verses that connect to that verse, and all of a sudden we get some understanding. And you know how good it is to find those things ourselves. Get honest. Get brutally honest. I encourage you to write down the thing you see. Write down what maybe you could learn to obey. Maybe you can't, you don't have the courage to do everything you think you're seeing in there, but if you're going to have to, a journey of 1,000 miles starts with one step, right? You don't get there in one step. It takes many steps, but you need to start making steps, taking steps. Get serious. And here's another one. Stop blaming. Stop blaming your parents. Stop blaming God. Stop blaming anything else. Accept responsibility. Take that first step out of the pit. Our examples. The absolute Christ, the absolute submissive man was the Lord Jesus Christ. Under Christ, there are things like cross, death to self. He's a lamb. He's, you know, in Christ, we get revelation. In Satan, we get confusion. In Christ, there's absolute submission. He had absolute submission. In Lucifer, there was rebellion. And these require brokenness, humbling, and they require choices. We have choices. We are making choices. We have choices to make. KP says that in rebellion against authority, we are not just participating in sin, we are walking in the heart of Satan. And may I just say, at the heart, at the core of your submission to the authority that God has in your life, is the secret to your life. All spiritual realities are built on this foundation of surrender and obedience. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, this morning, we thank you for the wonderful example of our shepherd. We thank you, Father, though we are sent among wolves, we have the encouragement of your oversight. We have the encouragement of your example. Father, we thank you that we still have life and we can still make choices. And sometimes it's those little things that lead us to you. Father, I pray that you might lead each of us here in this building into understanding what your will is. Grant us that we might be humble, broken, and honest with ourselves. Yes, there are things that we still live in the flesh, but you are greater. So may our lives be of help to each other, Lord. Open up our understanding to walk with you. Not that we're trying to bring some kind of a law on anyone, Lord, but for freedom, Christ has set us free. Walking in the core, walking in submission to your authority, Lord, we know that you set us free. We thank you, Father, that Jesus fulfilled the law. And even the word of the prophets, none of those things are going to be altered or changed until you fulfill them. And Father, we see the early church preached from the prophets many times. Thank you, Father, for your word, which is unchanging. Thank you, Father, for being our God. Change us in Jesus' name. Amen.